Okay, yes, we're looking at the Pharisee and the tax collector this morning. So we're going to turn to Luke 18 in your Bibles. Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. We'll be reading them together. And then I'll speak. Okay. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." I've entitled this one, "Pride Comes Before the Fall." When I was preparing this first verse, it really grabbed me. It spoke to me. It just, I don't know, it was just something that I just kept dwelling on in terms of my preparation this morning. It says, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else." That sets the scene for the parable. There were these people there that Jesus was speaking to, and you know, they were confident in their own righteousness. But it says they looked down on everyone else. I just got this sense of, I've got no evidence for this, sort of Jesus' blood boiling, is seeing these people and saying, "How dare you look down at other people? How dare you do that? How dare you think of yourselves as so high and mighty and proud? How dare you do that?" And I was thinking that, my dad taught me many things. I can remember walking along, coming out of Saturday morning cinema. And one of the things I remember him telling me is, he says, "Graham, never make a promise you can't keep," was one of the things that I remember. And one of the other things he used to say was, "Never say anything about someone unless you're willing to say it to their face." That was one of the things that he used to tell me. And the other thing he used to tell me was, "Pride comes before a fall. Don't think of yourself so big and so right and so wrong that, you know, everything's right and everybody else is wrong. Pride comes before a fall." And those are the sort of things, you know, you remember. I remember that my dad used to teach me and try and instill, you know, good things. You know, there are promises that I haven't kept. I'd be lying to say that I did. But they remember these things. And Jesus here, you know, keeps that verse, that little saying, as, "Don't say anything behind someone's back that you wouldn't willing to say to their face." These people were here. They were right in front of Jesus. It says, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone, Jesus told this parable." He's telling this parable to them. They are listening to it. It's not something that he's saying and teaching his disciples behind closed doors. These are the people that are sitting there listening to him while Jesus is sort of pointing out the error of their ways. You know, there's something about God that hates pride. God detests pride. God opposes the proud. You know, there's some scriptures. James 4:6 says, "God opposes the proud, but shows favour to the humble." That's also in 1 Peter 5:5. And in Proverbs 3:34, where that comes from, it says, "He mocks the proud mockers, but shows favour to the humble and oppressed." There is something about the proud which God hates. It just winds him up. He cannot stand it. And as he was sitting there, Jesus was sitting there, and he's there with these people around him. And he looked at them, and he could see they were looking down their noses at the people around them. There they were, sat there, proud. And he finishes with that verse. It says, "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who will humble themselves will be exalted." And Jesus used those words three times. That exact same phrase we read in the scriptures three times. In Matthew 23:12, where he is talking about the Pharisees and to the Pharisees about them. And he says, "Woe to you, you know, you're hypocrites." And he says that very same words, "For you all, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled." And in Luke 14:11, again, he's at the Pharisee's house and he uses these exact same words. And here in Luke 18:14, again, he says those words that the those who exalt themselves will be humbled and those who humble them will be exalted. God hates that sense of pride. He hates when people think of themselves superior or better to anybody else. We are all God's creation. And I think as I was sort of listening to myself or listening to these words, there was this sense of warning that came into my own life. If you're proud, beware, because God will humble you. Some point and some time is a point where you will be humbled. God will humble the proud. And so we have this picture then that God tells this parable to them as they're going along. Okay. Let's go to the next slide. The good, I've called this one the good and the bad. Okay, the good and the bad. These are the two men who went to the temple to pray, the Pharisee and the tax collector. Today we wouldn't think about that, the Pharisee and the tax collector. We would probably think more like the judge or the archbishop and a terrorist. Or, you know, we're talking about two extremes. The Pharisees were these people who were called the set apart ones, the separate ones. They avoided contact with anything that was impure, that would make them impure. And they were strict rules. They used to keep literally to the laws of Moses and all the interpretations of those laws. Now that would add up to about 613, I read somewhere. There were 613 separate laws they would have to keep. These guys were rigorous about keeping the law. They were dedicated to the law. They were dedicated to preserving the law and they were dedicated to acting out the law. You know, because they saw this as keeping the law was fundamental in terms of keeping in touch with God and being in God's good books. Because when Israel went away from the law and from God, then they were then taken over and conquered. So they had this mentality that said, if we keep the law, then we'll be safe. The other one is the tax collector. Some of you may know this story, and when I must confess, when Paul said we were discussing with Paul and said, "Yeah, we'll do the Pharisee and the publican," he said, "I'm sitting there thinking, oh yeah, Pharisee and the publican, yeah, I know that one, yeah, Pharisee and the publican." I think, was it? Jesus didn't have a Pharisee with a publican. He didn't go into a bar anywhere. I'm trying to rack my brains. You know, what's this Pharisee and the publican parable? So I remember the Pharisee and the tax collector, but I don't remember the Pharisee and the publican. Does everyone know this story as the Pharisee and the publican? If you put your hand up, if you know this story as the Pharisee and the publican. Nobody? Oh, right, okay, you don't read the King James Version then. Okay. Publican comes from the word publica, okay? Publicani, P as in public, A-N-I. And what it means is, okay, it means public servant. We would call them a civil servant, yeah, or a public servant, in terms of someone who is an administrator on behalf of the government. And that's why he's a tax collector. The tax collectors were the people who acted on behalf of Rome. And as all tax collectors are, they were despised. Okay? They were despised for a number of reasons. They were despised because they used to collect more taxes than they were meant to. Yeah, it's 2-2. They were despised. They used to sometimes used to collect double the amount, give what was to Rome, and then pocket the other half for themselves. These guys used to rob people. But not only did they rob people, they had the authority to rob people as well. They had the authority of Rome then to send people round to beat up people, to make sure they paid their taxes, or to take possessions to pay their taxes, or to sell them into slavery because they hadn't paid their taxes. They had the power to persecute their own people. Okay? So when Jesus is telling this story, he's talking about two distinct, very different types of people. It's talking about the Pharisee who is perceived as the perfect law giver. Not the law giver, but the law person who used to fulfill the law. Yeah? And then you're talking about the tax collector who was the diametrically opposite person to that. So, and that is what we find in this story. If we go to the next one. What we find is this. He says, the Pharisee stood up by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. So when we look at this tax collector, that is exactly what he's saying as he's standing up and praying. He's saying that I am an honest man. I don't rob people, not like that tax collector. I don't steal from people like that tax collector. I don't take away their savings like that tax collector. I am honest and I have integrity in all my dealings. In everything I do, I have integrity. In everything, I am honest. And he said, I'm not an evildoer. I don't get people thrown into prison. I don't take away their possessions. I don't, you know, intimidate them and bully them so they pay their taxes. I'm not an evildoer like that tax collector. And he says, I'm faithful to my wife. I'm not an adulterer. I don't go around and meet lots of other women and have extramarital affairs. I'm not like that. I am perfect in everything that I do. But I'm not only perfect in my life, but I'm also perfect in what I do in my religious life. I fast. I fast twice a week. Pharisees would fast on a Monday and a Thursday. The rest would only fast at the religious times of the feasts. But the Pharisees said, now we're going to go the extra mile. We're going to fast a bit more. We're going to fast on a Monday and we're going to fast on a Thursday. And this guy's standing before God and says, Lord, I fast twice a week. And then he says, I tithe. He says, I tithe on everything that I get. I don't just tithe on the bit that I'm left with at the end. I don't tithe on my net income, as we say. I'm tithing on my gross income. I tithe on everything that I get. All my presents or bonuses or whatever I do, everything that works. Everything that I get, I tithe. I am the perfect Pharisee. I am integrity in everything that I do. But the interesting thing is that this guy was also a guy of God-fearing. Listen to that first bit. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you. He is not basing his righteousness on all his acts on what he has done. He's saying, I thank you that I am like this. So there's a sense that this guy is also not in terms of legalistic, where he's trying to say, Lord, I've done all these things for you, so please, I am good. He's saying, you have blessed me and you have made me righteous so that I can do all these things. And he's saying, I thank you, God, that I am so perfect. There was that country and western song, it's hard to be perfect, isn't it? It's hard to be humble when you're perfect. Country in every way. That's right, that country and western song. But he's not only just perfect, but he's also a God-fearing, and you know, he's thanking God at the same time. And the tax collector says a very simple statement, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He is the opposite. For as much as the Pharisee was honest, the tax collector was dishonest. For as much as the Pharisee is just, the tax collector was unjust. And for as much as the Pharisee is respected, the tax collector is despised. So if we just go down this tick list of honest, just, faithful, fast, tithe, this has got dishonest, unjust, and despised. And so Jesus sets this scene of the two people. Can you see it? There's these guys listening it who are proud, yeah, who are looking down their noses, and he sets this scene for two people, yeah? And Jesus is just sucking these people in, yeah? He's sucking these people in to bring the switch. So we go to the next one. Yeah, morally upright and religiously devout, the good guy. And then we've got the tax collector, morally and religiously bankrupt. Yeah, they're the two people. They're setting them up. You can hear the Pharisees in the back going, woo-woo, Pharisee, woo, great guy, he's honest, woo-woo-woo. And they're going, tax collector, boo, he's a cheat, boo, he's horrible, boo, God won't love him. And he's setting up this contrast in the parable between the two. Can you see it? I'm glad. Okay, you've got a good guy, and then you've got the bad guy. And then Jesus says this, that's the next one. I've called this the switch. I tell you the truth. Yeah, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And for all their pride, these Pharisees were saying, yeah, we're the best. We're this, whoop, whoop, yeah, great, fantastic. Suddenly Jesus says, you're not justified. All this stuff doesn't make you justified. You just say, deflate. Why is this? Why is it? Why? Because what was the Pharisee trusting in? What was he trusting in? He was trusting in his acts of righteousness. They may have been God-given acts. God may have made him righteous. But what he was trusting in was the fact that he was just and that he was honest and that he was good and that he was fair and that he did fast and that he did tithe. He was trusting in his righteous acts. He believed that God had made him righteous. He believed that God had made him that. Thank you, God, he said. But he trusted in his righteousness that God had given him. He trusted in his righteous acts. It was as if the Pharisee had presented his righteous acts and said, look, these are all my righteous acts that you've allowed me to do. And that is why you should accept me into your kingdom of heaven, of all my righteous acts. Thank you that I'm acceptable to you. But Jesus says, no, that offering is not good enough. And what does the tax collector do? He trusts in nothing. He has nothing to trust in himself. There is no good thing in him. There is nothing in him that makes him acceptable to God. And he knows that. And he says that simple statement, God, have mercy on me. We go to the next one. So there we have the Pharisees, trusted in what God has done in him, in his own righteousness. And then the other guy trusted in the mercy of God. You see, it's not about how righteous we are. It's not about how moral we are. It's not about how religious we are, or whether God has produced it in us, or whether we've produced it in ourselves. None of this is our justification of faith. None of it, because none of it is good enough. Our salvation is not based on how much our character has changed, or how much there is fruit in our lives, or how often I come to church, or how much I give to church, or how much I spend time at church, or whether I speak in tongues or don't. That, none of that, zero of that, has anything to do with our salvation. It is not about how good we are. What is it about? It's about the cross. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It says this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It is only Christ's righteousness in us that makes the difference. It's not about all the things that we do. It is about Christ. And because we are in him, he makes a difference in us. And those fruits come through to us. But it is not our fruit of Christ in our lives that saves us. It is Christ who saves us. It is Christ who is our righteousness. And you can understand that difference. See, by trusting Christ alone and all that he did for us and all that he is for us, we are united to him. And because we are in him, what he is counts for us. What he is counts for us. His righteousness, his morality, his devoutness. It's Christ in us, our hope of glory, that makes a difference. And that's the point of the parable. That's the point. It is not, here's this Pharisee saying, I do all this, why this righteousness of mine is acceptable to God. No, only one thing is acceptable to God. Christ himself and us being found in him. And that is why this is a parable of grace. Because the sinner, the tax collector, the person who was most despised is the one who was justified because he fell at the foot of the cross. He fell at the foot of the cross of Christ Jesus and said, have mercy on me. And his faith was recognized as righteousness because of what Jesus is in him and what he is in us. So this morning, and I'm saying this to myself, as I said, that first verse was going over and over in my mind about being righteously, feeling righteously or spiritually superior. I want to give you a warning this morning. If you are proud about who you are in God, or proud about what you do in God, or proud about how much you give, and you look down at the person next to you or somebody else, pride comes before a fall. But there is a hope, there is a steadfastness, there is a rock in which we are, in which we believe, in which we stand. That rock is the name of Jesus, and he is our righteousness. He is our perfection. And we are found in him, and he is found in us. And because of that, we can stand before God and say, accept me into your kingdom. Because when he looks on us, he looks on Christ. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be found in you, and that you, and we are hidden in you, and we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Lord, we just bless you for that. And Father, Lord, we just pray. Lord, when we, I don't know, perhaps with proud hearts or resentful hearts or whatever, Father God, look around us. But Father God, Lord, we just thank you that in, Lord, in you, in Jesus, he is our righteousness. And Lord, that is, we are safe and secure, and that can never be robbed or taken from us, because Christ's sacrifice is once and for all and forever. And we bless you and worship you and adore you. In Jesus' name, amen.